paging all tech docs. Clinic is open if your technology has a fever, your network is short of breath, or your system just stopped responding, you're in the right place. Here we diagnose digital disorders, troubleshoot stubborn symptoms, and prescribe real-world fixes for modern tech problems.
No guesswork, no snake oil, just practical solutions.
Welcome to the Tech Docs!
Well, hello. We are back with take two. We'd like to first of all apologize to listeners for the gremlins that got into our machines and made our last episode not possible to be published. But we think, thanks to a Facebook follower, we've got the solution by throwing water on them, and they are now gone. So you're all very welcome to our June episode of the Tech Docs. This is episode 4. So as usual, I am going to start by asking everyone how your month was for a second time. So, Jackie, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. My month has been listening to a lot of audiobooks. I've just finished my 145th book. Wow. And I've also been debating, was Mr. Bump actually blind or vision impaired? Because I'm reading him in Braille at the minute. And he just seems that he has a sight issue and very misunderstood.
Absolutely. That's a great, to be fair, that's a good way of looking at it. And I wonder if our listeners might have any views on that.
But that's just me. That's
excellent. And Ken, how about you? How are you?
I'm good, Jay. Thanks. Like Jackie, listening into it to audiobooks. I'm following a series of books there. They're called the Grey Man series. So I'm just finished the third book now. Hope to start the fourth one now, maybe tomorrow or the next day. So other than that, kept going with the DigiCoach project for fighting blindness. And yeah, just getting out for a walk when the weather allows. And other than that, just keep myself busy.
Amazing. Fantastic. You're going to have to start doing us a book recommendation now, Ken.
I think so. Well, I finished one book in about 2 days. Mind you, I was up to about 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, I'll give it 5 minutes. And before I knew, 5 minutes turned into 1 o'clock in the morning.
I am the very same.
Yeah.
I am very same. But anyway, Pat, how are you?
I'm good, yeah. As I was just trying to warn you earlier on, do not throw water on gremlins. It makes them multiply. Anyway, yeah, I'm taking your role, Jade, this month. I'm travelling doc. I'm over in the States, lapping up 31 degrees Celsius out there at the minute. Trying to stay out of it. Yeah, I'm just looking at tech over here a little bit while I'm here. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, and there's one or two different things that I might report on at some stage in a later episode.
Oh, do definitely keep us posted. I always find, you know, when you go stateside, there's so much more that we don't know about.
Yeah, I'm looking into a piece of tech at the minute. I think a lot of people could find useful. Bit expensive, but
what if technology isn't?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I will reclaim my seat very soon. But at least you're enjoying the sun while it's miserable and raining here in Ireland.
That makes it all the much better.
Exactly. And Stuart Haxel, before you tell us how you are, you've had an extremely busy time. So we want to first congratulate you. And do you want to tell our listeners why we're congratulating you?
Oh, I don't know. That's news to me. Well, I guess it's well, to be fair.
Don't be modest.
All right. Is this not about the Monopoly game, is it?
No, it is not. It is about a game, but it's not Monopoly. We'll get to that later.
Okay, fair enough. No, in May, I took part in two blind tennis competitions. The first was over in lovely Loughborough University, for a regional UK blind tennis tournament, where I got 5th out of 12. Woo-hoo. In the singles and 3rd place in the doubles.
Amazing.
And that was out of, I think, at least 20 people who took part in that one. And the week after, I barely recovered, I took part in the Irish Nationals here in Shankill, which were open to international players for the first time ever since they held the World Tournament in 2018. And I have retained my Irish number one title.
Yay!
Congratulations.
I'm going to be cheeky and say, if anybody wants to hear about that tennis championship, you can listen to it on Out of Sight with Joe G.
Other than that, I've been listening to a few audiobooks. One that I was recommended by the PhD doc over there in the corner was God is Disappointed in You.
I am also listening to that book.
that was hilarious, I have to say, and I highly recommend it.
I'm not really sure where I sit with it at the minute, but I am also listening.
It's very entertaining.
It is very entertaining.
At the very least, it's very entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very good. So everyone has been good and reading a lot of books, which is amazing. My month has been quiet. I would like to say a huge well done and congratulations to my sister, who by the time this episode comes out will have finished her Leaving Cert exams. So
I am
extremely proud of her. We all are. She's an amazing young lady and I can't wait to see what the future will hold for her. So by the time this comes out, Taylor, you're free.
Yay. Boola bus, everyone. It's
been a long 6 years in school for her, so you know.
Huge congratulations.
Yes,
to everyone.
Yeah.
So aside from all our personal news, have we any follow-up from the last podcast, Stuart? Have we any emails?
We do. We actually got a reply into our question about what was the Andrea Marr book from Jackie Coyle. And do you remember what she said in her email? Because it's gone out of my head there for a second.
That bloody gremlin isn't gone.
Yeah, that gremlin. There's one gremlin at least. She's hiding the email on me.
It should have been you.
It should have been you.
It should have been you. Fair play, Jackie. Fair play.
Fair play. Yes. So look,
all Jackie's notebooks.
Yeah, exactly. We won't disagree with you, Jackie.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Jackie, for giving us that name of that book. It was driving us mad on the last podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was. Yeah. And we also had an email that I have held back for Pat. By the way, Pat, welcome back, because you were missing on our last podcast that officially went out to air. So welcome back. I should have said that at the start. We hope you had a fabulous birthday. But I do have a question, so I'm going to put you back to work now.
Oh, God. Okay.
A listener wrote in to us and asked if you could please explain the spoken content on the screen with magnification.
Yep, it's something I only discovered recently enough myself. It's to do with the controller for the on-screen magnifier, or Zoom. And basically what it does, you can take any piece of text, be it in a text message, email, or on a website, and just have a line or a paragraph read to you. And it's just a setting within the read and speak section. So when you go into settings, accessibility, read and speak, and then speak screen. And in there, down towards the bottom, you're going to see the control action. So there's one of the controls for double tap. So when you go in there, you can choose speak on touch. And once that's switched on, literally, and again, just make sure the controller is switched on, which is just above that section. When you go in on any text, you just double tap with one finger on the controller. And within that controller, you'll see a little hand with a finger pointing. Once you see that, again, using your magnification, on-screen magnification will help you see that. Just tap anywhere within the text and it'll read it to you. It's so easy compared to what I used to do, was having to highlight a paragraph or a line and then go into a menu and choose speak. So it was a slower process and it's very hard just to highlight a specific area. So this really cuts out a lot of effort.
It definitely seems more streamlined.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I wish that when I was using magnification on my phone that I could have done this. But we live in hope all the time, don't we?
Yep.
Yes. It
eventually gets there. But it's funny that you know, you think about things being more streamlined. We're very fortunate, Jackie and Stuart were very fortunate to catch up with the founder of ScribeMe, which had a bit of an unfortunate incident where it was disappeared off the App Store. The gremlins must have got in there too. But we're delighted to say it's back, aren't we, Stuart?
Absolutely. And me and Jackie were absolutely delighted that we got to interview Mark Morad from ScribeMe. We started off by asking him a personal question to kind of explain his journey and where he came from.
So I'm Mark Morad. I was actually born fully sighted. I had no problems with my vision. Until in sixth grade, that's when I started to notice that my vision was getting weaker over time. I couldn't see the whiteboard. I couldn't read the A4 papers. And at first I thought that this was something normal. I would wear glasses and everything would be fine. But the problem was much bigger. Because we visited many doctor appointments and no one knew what was the diagnosis. My vision was getting weaker, very fast, week by week. And then I was diagnosed with optic nerve atrophy. And basically, optic nerve atrophy means your optic nerve gets weaker over time. And one day, I knew that one day I will go blind, but I didn't know when. And this day came in 10th grade where I was in school and then I couldn't see sticking an exam, couldn't see the paper, couldn't see the iPad, couldn't see anything. And this was probably the darkest moment in my life. Especially that I used to play tennis when I was young. I also wanted to major in engineering in university. So in order to do that, I had to take physics and chemistry in grade 11 and 12. These were really hard too, because as you know, physics and chemistry, it's all about visuals. It consists of charts, graphs, etc. So there was no tool that could help me study independently. I had to rely on others. And that's when I had the idea of building ScribeMe, which is the app that most users know now. And at first, do you want to ask something?
Yes. Could you please tell us basically about ScribeMe and what the general idea for it was and where it came from?
Yeah, so I started to work on ScribeMe when I was in 11th grade, and it was basically it was doing a simple task, which is helping me study independently. So when I was working on the app, I tried to make it have good OCR, and also describe any images found inside the file. So after a couple of months iterating on the app, I was able to publish the first version on the Microsoft Store. And at first, it was very simple. It would only do OCR. Then I worked on another thing where it could even describe images. So if you have a PowerPoint or a PDF, you just upload the file and it will scan the text. And if it detects any image inside the file, it's going to describe it in details. So for example, if you have a physics PowerPoint, for example, it's going to tell you that there's a chart which has an x-axis, a y-axis, what numbers are on the graph. For example, if the line is going up, then this means it's a positive change. It basically explained everything that I needed to know to study independently. And the app started to gain recognition from here. Like I said, the first version was published on the Microsoft Store. And then users wanted also to have the app on mobile. So after some time, we were able to publish ScribeMe on iOS and Android as well, because it made it easier for users to study through their phone without having needing their laptop everywhere. And from here, we also introduced Live Assist, which is a real-time AI assistant that can continuously describe your surroundings as it happens. And what makes it unique than other apps is you only need to ask once and it will continuously describe as the scene changes. You don't have to ask 300 times, what do you see now? How about now? Other apps. Yeah, this is the brief summary.
That's amazing. And I've used the ScribeMe on numerous occasions for different things, if trying to scan PDFs, as you said, and using the Live Assist. Is it free for people to use? Is there a subscription or?
So you have in the document section, you have one file every 24 hours, which is like you can upload maximum 10 pages. And for Live Assist, you have 10 minutes for free every 24 hours as well. Like it's a daily limit. And then we have a subscription that's $20 per month. And this gives you 100 files per month and also unlimited access to Live Assist.
I have also used the Live AI, and I have used it out and about, and but I found very beneficial. I was asking for a particular shop, and it was given kind of, you're walking down the sidewalk, and then it suddenly says, "I see a glass building," and it named the shop, and I was like, "Wow, that is cool." But like, there's such a restriction on AI in Europe. What made it possible that you could have live AI in Europe?
I think like Meta AI is a bigger company, so they have to deal with more regulations. But with SkyMe, like we're still a small company. Maybe like regulators have not noticed SkyMe yet, but we'll see how it goes in the future. We'll see how we can deal with it in the future. And
Well, let's
yeah,
hope
another
they don't
thing.
listen to our podcast.
But
But I think.
what I noticed about whenever I was using it, I was in a shop and there was people standing in front of me, and there was children there basically, and it never identified the people. It just says there's a group of people standing. So to me, it was even though it was telling me what was about, it wasn't giving any personal details of the people, and I found that fascinating.
And you've got it working on the Meta glasses now these days. So how's the process of that going?
So we published like the SkyMe Live Assist on the Meta glasses, I think a month ago. Yeah, time goes very fast. And ever since, like it's been very, very good. Like we've got users from all over the world using SkyMe on the Meta glasses. And like something that really shocked me is in the blind community, the Meta glasses is a normal thing. Like you would publish on the Meta glasses, and I thought like we would get like a small amount of users who have the glasses, but it turns that everyone in the blind community has the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the blind uniform now, I think, at this point. So you have your cane, you have your Meta glasses, or you have your guide dog.
Exactly. And like it made it much easier for like all users to use it outside because it has free now, so you won't need your phone. Like you won't need to hold your phone everywhere you go. You just keep your phone in your pocket, and you can see everything through the glasses, which makes it much easier to walk.
Yes, it absolutely is. That I tried it there the first time once I got access, and I was blown away by just looking around. I kept getting descriptions as I was turning my head, and I was blown away, I have to say. So if this is the sign of where things are going in the future, I'm really looking forward to it.
And where do you see it going? A feature I would love to see is if you could personalize the AI. If you wanted to have maybe a grumpy one, or there that you could program your details into the app where it would know your name and stuff.
Like custom instructions, I think you
Like,
mean.
yeah. So yeah, we actually had like thought of this idea, and we're working on it to make it more personalized to like each user, where you could customize the AI based on your needs and like customize the tone. And like we actually just made an update today. Yes, it's gonna be more impressive because it's much faster in responding. Like it the older version like took 2 to 3 seconds to respond. This takes less than 2 seconds to respond, so you're gonna
Oh
feel this
wow.
much more natural and much more faster.
I believe I actually got that update as you were coming into the podcast. I got a test flight update from ScribeMe saying it had updated, so I'm looking forward to trying that out. I think that's all the questions I have, Jackie. Do you have any questions there
No,
left?
I just want to thank you so much for creating the app, because it is a literal game changer when it comes to any AI. Like the on and it being on the glasses is absolutely amazing. And being out and about, it's just It's absolutely amazing.
Okay, so thank you for joining us for
yeah,
this
for having.
This for this for this interview, and it's been absolutely fantastic.
Wow, lads, you really got a lot out of him, and it was great to hear all about Scribe Me. And it, I think I'm going to have to bite the bullet and buy a pair of Meta glasses.
His story's fascinating. Like his yeah. story is really fascinating.
It was a very he's a very interesting guy. Yeah.
And very sincere, very sincere as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ken, on those kind of lines, he's very softly spoken.
Yeah.
So he does, he comes across as a lovely guy. So we wish Scribe Me the very best of luck, and I will look forward to trying it. So we also had a suggestion from Tony Sweeney. Tony suggested that we try using voice notes. So we have taken your suggestion on board, Tony. So if you'd like to contact the show, here's how you can do it.
Did you know we now have a brand new website? You can visit us at www.thetech.pod.com. You can contact the show through the website. You can even send us a new 90-second voice note. Give it a try. We'd love to hear from you.
Are people genuinely going to get sick of hearing my voice? It seems to be everywhere. It really doesn't seem to be. But so our very own Captain Doc has been very busy in the background to create our website, and all of the contact details and past episodes are available to view there. And you've also added the 90-second voice note feature, which we have tested and it works. So we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or feedback, or just even if you want to say hello to us, we would love to hear from our listeners. Stuart, speaking of vibe coding, and I suppose tech, let's go down the route of tech games and toys. But let's be more modern first for a minute, because you designed the website using vibe coding.
I did.
But that's not the only thing you've done.
Well, yeah, that is true. I briefly let it slip earlier, but I did make a Monopoly game using vibe coding based on it's kind of framed more for a disability, like framed like the community chance cards are funny, and the like when you pass Go you get the disability allowance.
And I say it is addictive and it is funny, and I keep losing to AI every single time.
And then I just had to go and make it harder for you by adding a difficulty setting.
Yes, you do. So, but no, it is. It's fantastic. And I suppose we can say, if listeners would like to try your Monopoly game, please do get in touch with us and we can send you the link.
Absolutely. And I'll try and do a small demonstration that we can put out on social media for people to listen to and see what they think.
Exactly. That would be amazing. So yeah, so you're making me think back, like, you know, how apps and toys have evolved in, you know, from say when we were younger to now. Like my first tech toy, or tech, like first piece of tech, if you will, rather than it being an app, the one that I remember was a Fisher Price radio.
Oh, wow.
Like you could put tapes in it and cassette tapes and play them, and it had a microphone and you could actually listen to the radio. I think I used to drive my poor mother mental. So mom, if you're listening to this, do you forgive me?
I actually do think I used to have that, because I vaguely remember actually having something with a microphone that kind of slipped in the side of it.
Yes.
It had a solid handle that goes up and around the top, and there was a thing on the front you pull out.
Yes.
So I guess I must have had the same thing as you then.
I loved it. And also the Tamagotchis, lads. Who didn't have a Tamagotchi?
My sister had them. Yeah, she had them, I think.
I never had a Tamagotchi. No. I did have a Furby.
Yes.
We had Furbies here too. Yeah, they didn't last long, I don't think. But they
But then the older I got, the more creepy the Furby became. And I had an obsession. My mother will tell anyone who will listen, I had an obsession that was borderline weird with porcelain dolls.
Oh, they freak me out. Oh, God, they freak me out. Oh, no, they do freak me out as well.
Now I can't look at them.
So, as you can hear, our main topic today is tech toys. So I think let's go around the table and ask everyone. Like, Jade has already given her tech toy. So I'll give mine. The very first bit of tech that I do remember ever having was the talking watch that would never shut up. Yes, it would wake you up in the middle of the night going off with that cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh, God. Some,
sometimes even it was in, say, in the middle of, say, senior or junior infants, people were looking around wondering, what is this noise going off in the middle of the night?
I got banned from wearing mine in school.
Did anyone else, apart from me and Jade, have it?
No.
I was in secondary school, and I bashed mine off the seat, and the button got stuck. So it wouldn't stop talking, and I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, no.
It is 5:45 a.m.
Yeah. So, Jackie, what are your tech toys?
Well, I just have to share a funny story I had. Being a girl and all that, you were lumbered with a baby doll. So
yes,
I would get clothes for the doll. So one day I'm quite violent. One day I had a wee tracksuit on the
Power
doll and a hood up on it. I started to shake the doll by the throat. I was only about eight, so forgive me here. Some man jumped out of his car thinking it was a real baby.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hopefully there's no kids listening.
Yes.
Well, if the head had fell off it, like, because they had a habit of falling off. But
The tech docs do not encourage people.
We do not encourage the shaking of babies, no.
No, definitely not. No. But it was just hilarious. I got a shock of my life. Stop doing that. And I'm like,
I've got our disclaimer for our show notes now.
Yeah. They do have reborn dolls, and they look scarily lifelike.
Yeah, they're creepy. They're creepy. Mm.
Well, I have heard some stories now, whether they're plausible or believable or not is beyond me, but I have heard that apparently there have been some reborn dolls known to grow hair.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's
freaky.
I could do with one of those.
well, Pat, go on. You're up next.
Let's just say that no dolls have been harmed in the making of this podcast. So, my first memory of tech was also a watch. It was a digital watch that lit up, the numbers lit up red. I don't know if it made any sounds or not. I can't remember, but there was a show on my age now. There was a program on at the time called the Gemini Man, and when he had this watch, and when he pressed the button on the watch, he went invisible, and I think he had superpowers. I can't honestly remember, but I remember running around with this watch. I was fascinated with the red numbers showing up on the screen and pressing a button and pretending I was invisible. My mother probably wished that I was, but it's funny, I still like the Apple Watch that you can double tap the screen and get your time read out to you. I still love that. I think it's like I still feel like a superhero when I do that.
You sound like a bit like Michael Knight from Knight Rider.
Yeah, completely the same, Ken, yes. I've been mistaken for him so many times. The other one as well was more, I suppose, assistive tech was the reader. I can't remember the name of it, but you ran like a little mouse across the page of your book.
I had one of them as well.
Same.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That was my very first CCTV experience.
Mine too. Yeah. The first time I read a book from start to finish.
Mm.
I was just fascinated by it.
Now, it took a little while to read it. Like, if I remember correctly, like, it would take you a little while because if the page went askew, you'd have to line it up again. And
yeah, yeah. But
and you'd also have to turn it off for neighbours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Jackie, actually, it's funny you mentioned, and it's because of you that we kind of came to this topic originally. You had something years ago that that it was really simple, and it wasn't even, I don't think it was even an assistive tech toy, was it? It was
it did talk, but you could turn the speech off, and it was a Franklin Language Master.
Oh.
And it was like a wee mini, what's a dictionary basically, and but it had games on it as well. Like, and I picked up even my speed and typing by using it, because it was a, there was a kind of, it would call out letters and you'd have to type, press the letter to cap before the thing fell.
Oh.
And there was anagrams and hangman and no.
Wow.
So it was a, it, and it only died recently.
We'll have a moment's silence for poor
R.I.P. Franklin.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Franklin. We hardly knew ye.
Yeah, I know.
And Ken, you're very quiet there. Are you,
sure, Jay, yeah. You know me, I'm always quiet.
Us Corbonians, Ken, are never quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always the quiet ones you have to be afraid of.
We've the Munster final now on Saturday, Jay.
Yeah, Ken, we won't talk about that.
we could be drowning our sorrows.
So what's your tech toy then?
The Atari. It probably did have a number for, but for the life of me, I can't remember. So basically, it was a square kind of machine that you'd connect it up to the TV, and you'd put these cartridges into the machine. So basically, there were car games and soccer games and jumping games and shooting games.
I remember these.
Yeah.
Think we used to have one here. We used to have Sonic on it, I think.
Yeah,
I had Sonic.
Could have been. Yeah, possibly could have been. Yeah, it was nice. It was so easy to use. And then you'd have joysticks, like two joysticks. But the only thing, the joysticks were very finicky because you'd be obviously whacking them and stuff. The wires would break off inside. So you'd have to get someone to open them up and solder them back on again.
God, do you remember that when it wasn't like as simple as, oh, I'll just go get a new one or I'll order one from Amazon? Your dad would have to go.
get the soldering gun, they were very sensitive. And you had two buttons like to press, and you had this little joystick that you'd be whacking the hell out of it. And then poor Atari went to heaven. I came in one day and I sat on the game, and that was the end of Atari then.
No.
R.I.P. Atari.
R.I.P. Yeah.
I had the Sega Master System, and I finished Sonic the Hedgehog. I got all the rings.
All the levels.
All the levels. I finished them. And I was so... Now, I would have been playing it. No wonder I'm blind. And I would have been nose literally to the screen trying to see what it was doing. Like,
Jeeperson.
And that's an achievement in itself, Jackie.
Oh, it was brilliant that they just jumped onto the thing and then all the rings went around them. Like, I was like, I finished Sonic the Hedgehog! And I still had lives left.
And does anyone remember the Nokia Snake on the Nokia?
I was
brilliant. Yeah,
I was obsessed.
I could never play it, but I played it like I just had done the
you, Jackie. I was like nose to screen.
Yeah, same here.
It got really annoying because the longer the snake got, the harder it was to get the food, and then there wouldn't just be one or two pieces of food on the screen. Like, you'd have to make it do loop the loops and then try and get it back out.
And was there different levels? I think as well.
Yeah,
as
there was indeed. Yeah,
and I think at one point I got to level 10 and I was delighted with myself.
I think Tetris nearly ended my first Nokia phone because I used to line it up perfectly. I was so proud of myself as these blocks came down, and at the last minute they seemed to move.
How did we ever do? Because the screen was so small. Like,
I know, and I was sure I had it lined up properly until it would just get that close and realize, oh no! And then I tried to just move it over one thing, and of course it would turn upside down. And oh my god!
I could just imagine it in slow motion as you're like, no.
Yeah.
I remember I had to get a little magnifying glass kind of at some stages to try and play it. So you were there, you weren't even looking at the keys, you were just moving your finger and you were holding the magnifying glass on the screen.
I was just threatening it with a hammer, basically. It got so close.
It was very addictive. Should we,
seeing as everybody knows these episodes go out live, so should we kind of record, well done, Cork, or too bad, Cork?
No, let's just leave it.
Let's don't not poke the
Okay,
bear
let's, leave, I have
my predictions, but I won't say because I could be shot.
Okay, let's leave it with too bad, Cork. Better luck next time.
Let's ask the audience to email in their tech toys and what do they have to contribute to this conversation.
Absolutely. And I think I'm going to yet again put our producer on the spot. And Stuart, can you come out of the control room for a second, please?
Right, I'm back from the control room. You keep making me run in and out of the control room.
I'm sorry, but yeah. I do believe
there's lots of buttons to press.
There was a story that your sisters told me about a toy that you had when you were younger, and I do remember my daughter having a very similar toy. So do you want to tell us what your first kind of toy was? It's not exactly tech, but it's interesting.
It's not tech at all, but it had a funny, and I was only talking to my dad about this recently, and we talked about how it was sort of a mobility aid. So my toy was a toy lawnmower, and I loved it, and it would click, click, click along. And we went on a family holiday to Sligo, and I was on Ross's Point Beach, which I'm sure Stuart and Jackie are well familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to walk on Ross's Point Beach with my lawnmower, pushing it ahead of me and click, click, click along. And it would make a different clicking sound when it hit the sea. So I'd know I was at the sea. And I
surely you'd hear the splash anyway. Well,
you know me, I was a bit. Well, and but we talked about it recently, and they were kind of saying it was like you're kind of an early cane. You know, it was sort of pushing out in front of you, detecting there was the odd time it hit a rock or it would hit a stone, and I'd stop and move the lawnmower around. So, and it even had a little cord on the front of it, like you could, you know, that you would use if it was a real lawnmower to start it. So,
pull cord, yeah.
I loved my lawnmower. Don't know where it is now.
Did it have a name, Stuart? Did it have a name?
I don't think so. That's a good question. But it's gone somewhere now in the great loft of...
It's gone up to heaven with Frank and the
Terry. It is, with Franklin, there you go. It's chatting to Franklin now.
Yeah, so Mrs. Lawler, if you're listening, did Stuart have a name for the lawnmower, and where is it now?
and now everyone else, like, what do you think it should have been called if it didn't have a name? What do you think it should have been called?
I know that my daughter had a very similar lawnmower, a real simple thing, except it, again, was revolutionised in that it blew bubbles.
Oh, wow.
I remember those, yeah.
And just a funny story on names, actually. My retired guide dog, he's Marley. So my friend, she has him now. So she got a robot Hoover. So she was there and she was like, what do you think I should call him? I was like, I have no idea. And she was like thinking for ages. And I was talking to her the next day and she was like, I called him Bob. I was like, God, that's actually fitting. Bob Marley, like. we both had the same thought, like, to call him Bob. It's like,
that's good.
Cool.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, we all need those robot vacuums.
That story.
Just on my Stuart thing, whenever I lost my sight, for some reason, whenever I was in the hospital, I had an inflatable guitar with me. And I don't know why. So I used the inflatable guitar. I held it and with the thing sticking out, so then I would know if I was going to hit off the wall or the doors.
Did it hit the D, the E, or the G chord?
I will admit noise whenever you kind of hit something. But I'm still baffled. Why did I have an inflatable guitar in the hospital?
Jackie, I think that's a sign, you know, they're taking auditions for Britain's Got Talent at the moment. They're wanting people to apply, so maybe that could be a sign.
We'll have to be the Tech Docs band. Does anyone have a name?
Yeah.
I think you said you thought you had a name we could be.
I did, because I've been eating so much since I come out here. I've needed to expand the elastic on my pants, so I think the Elastic Band.
I think before this deteriorates anymore, we should move along, I think.
I think we should move on, Stuart. You're right. It's getting chaotic. But also another suggestion for us was to have a news segment, which we will work on. But for now, we are going to introduce something to you lovely listeners, and we're going to call this one remaining gremlin.
This is the one remaining gremlin.
Okay, I'll say it. It's time for a tech duck tip. You'll be told something you didn't know you needed to know. This month's tip is la 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 da 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 ba ba.
Okay, to the you know, the escape command, the scrub. I have changed that to a two finger on the top edge of the screen. So to do this, you go into settings, accessibility, voiceover, commands, and touch gestures. And so now you can do it to any command that you don't kind of really use. But I find this great because I struggle to do the backward Z because of my fingers. So my tip today is look at the commands in your phone and see, can you change them to make them do something more easier than what they are at the moment.
That's actually a very good tip. And thanks to, I think it was one of my fellow Digi coaches or tech docs, that I learned to do a four finger single tap to paste.
Me.
It might have been you, actually. Yeah.
And Jackie, I've been showing my clients this week that tip. Again, they struggle to do it as Z, so I'm doing a one finger triple tap because a lot of them find that easier.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do in the command. More gestures, like,
there's so much in there.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'd agree. Definitely. Like, I've for the longest time I was never able to do the scrub, so I've just ignored it. But it took, I'd say, last year was finally.
Meta broke Facebook for us.
Exactly.
I just use my table for that thing. Just press the bell down the B.
If listeners take away any tech doc advice from this month's episode, it is to change your gestures and have a play with them and see what you can make easier for yourself.
And don't blame us if it all goes wrong.
Absolutely. And you can always reset them back to default. There is a reset in there in the commands if things start going too crazily wrong.
Blame Jackie.
Oh, would you look at that? We just gave our advice.
Yeah.
So it is time for us to say goodbye. Thank you, as always, to all of our listeners for listening and for your support. And remember, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcasts and also on our brand new shiny website, thetechdocpod.com. We'd really appreciate if you could give us a like and a review. And tell your friends about us. Or the gremlins might come after you to make you listen.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And as we've been told, cold water only makes them multiply.
Well, clearly we haven't got rid of all the gremlins. One still remains.
Uh-huh. So the gremlin is the mascot now. We'll keep the gremlin.
We'll keep him, yeah.
Yeah, so we would like listeners to name our gremlin.
This music very much like Bear in the Big Blue House. Bye, everyone!
Bye!
My friend. Goodbye. What's that?
I don't know.
What's that? A dream.
This sounds like Stuart Lawler, I think.
Nah, can't be. Has to be
I
think it is. It sounds very much like him.
I don't know.
Maybe he's singing in the control room and doesn't realise his mic is on.
Was Stuart in ABBA?
Lots and lots of chance.
I think we've given him too much power.
But also, I genuinely think that we're going to have to ask him back next week to explain this if it is him. So, listeners, we would like you to answer, is it Stuart Lawler or is it AI?
And for this, Stuart, I will never see him the same way again.
And what on earth is he singing up there?
And he could join her. He could join her. He's got talent for us, maybe.
We found a main singer at least.
Lead
Jackie and her guitar.
Yeah, exactly.
His elastic band.
And Stuart was his balls. Tennis balls.
I
had a dream about Sky Stream. This tiny box on my TV set up was so simple. Staff were in the know, and within a jiffy I was good to go. lots of entertainment. Audio description everywhere. Hell, this is amazing. Good job that I'm blind, or I would stare. It's not a dream. I have SkyStream. It's not a dream. I